I want to invite you this morning to open up your Bible with me to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1, in verse 15. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, you can lift up your hand, and our ushers will be in the aisles now. They'll be more than glad to give you a Bible, and of course, you can feel free to take those home with you if you don't have a Bible at all. And you can also feel free to use a Bible app on your phone or iPad or whatever piece of technology you may have. I had a message that I was going to share today. And in fact, we had the message title screen for it. And even the CD is already printed up with the title of the message on it, just entitled Think Big. And we may get into that. Who knows? But we didn't get into it first service. Before I walked out in first service, literally about 5 minutes before I came out, the Lord just kind of dropped something in my heart, and I feel as if He wants me to communicate some of that this morning. And so we'll see where it takes us. You know, I told them, first service, it's like, you go to a Mexican restaurant, and you get the chips and, the salsa. And that's free, but you know, you order fajitas, but then you eat so many chips and so many fajitas, or so much salsa that when the fajitas come, you're not hungry anymore. So we'll see how that works. We may leave you still hungry and get over into Think Big, or we'll see if this is the whole kit and caboodle. Here in Galatians chapter 1, let's look at something here in verse 15. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. It says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me." Now, let's look at something here in verse 15. "When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace." Notice, this is Paul speaking, formerly known as Saul. Before he ever came out of his mother's womb, the Lord put a call on his life, called him by His grace, separated him there, even in that womb, separated him into a divine purpose and a divine plan for this man, Paul. It was to be a great apostle. This man's life was one that is still affecting ours today. In fact, I would say, other than the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, Paul's influence is unmatched by anyone else. And the plan and purpose of God for his life was to do what he did, to write these letters and to have that make up 3/4 of our entire New Testament. Letters like 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Colossians, all of these wonderful letters, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, letters to minister, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, all of that was written by this man, Paul. It was his destiny. And God is not just doing that for Paul. He does that for everyone. You were not born because your parents decided to have children. You were put here on earth by a direct purpose from God to accomplish something, to do something, to achieve something. There's purpose ingrained in your soul. And for Paul, this was his purpose, to be this great apostle. But what's fascinating about Paul's life is he lived a good majority of it doing the complete opposite of what God had for him. Here he was, he readily admits, called from his mother's womb, called by God's grace to be who he was. But for years, I mean for decades of his life, he is doing the complete opposite of what God calls him to do. God's called him to make Christians, and guess what he's doing? He's murdering them. He's killing them. And he thinks he's doing God a service. This man, Paul, at that time when he was doing all those bad things, his name was Saul. During this time in his life, he honestly has reached a point of great professional success. He's esteemed within the community. He's someone who has achieved high ranks in what he does. He's looked at with honor. He's looked at with integrity among his peers. But the whole time while this is going on the outside, something is going on the inside. When Jesus appears to him on the road and basically tells him that he's missing the purpose and plan of God for his life, he appears to him, he says, Paul, or at that time, Saul, Saul, it's hard to kick against the pricks. And what he was saying is this, is on the outside, man, it looks like everything's going great. But something on the inside's kicking at you. Something on the inside is rubbing at you. There's got to be more to life than this. Do you know this? You can't buy peace. Oh, you could buy a brand new house and still not have peace. You could buy a brand new car and still not have peace. You could move to a whole brand new city, a whole another zip code away and still not have peace. Peace comes from only one source. It comes from God. And here Paul is, he's living away from the Lord. And every imaginable way, he's going the opposite way of his destiny. And here's what's fascinating. His heart knows it. His heart's aware of it. Something's not right. His heart is keenly aware, a prick in his heart. He knows something's not right. And finally, one day he hears from God. Jesus appears to him. That's a great way to hear from God. If you've had that experience, congratulations. But on one day he hears from God. And he knows, I've got to make a change. Now change can come in all different shapes and fashions. Change can come by making a physical change, moving from one location to the next. Change can be a spiritual decision. You know, I need to make some changes spiritually in the sense of I need to separate myself from some people or from some things. Or change can be a change of occupation or a change of whatever, but change can come from a lot of different things. And Paul realizes, I have to make a change. And when you get something in your heart to make a change in, friend, that is the Lord Jesus speaking to you. He's given your Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit, to lead and guide you into all truth. And when He reveals His plan to you, and don't ever think that's something that's so big, God leads in steps, not miles. People want God to take them miles, but God's leading in steps, friend. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And some of those steps, they may seem like little things, but nevertheless, it is God's leading. And when we act on those steps, the plan of God begins to unfold. It begins to unwind. And Paul here is receiving the plan of the Lord. I'm sure at that moment he didn't know that it would evolve into what it has evolved into today, that here thousands of years later we'd be reading his text and reading the revelations he got from the Lord. I'm sure at that time he didn't think anywhere near that context, but yet here we are doing it. Well, how did he get from there to here? He took steps under the inspiration of the Lord. When you get something in your heart to do it, you've only got one choice, to do it. Anything less than doing it is disobedience. And disobedience moves us outside of the plan of God. God always loves you. God is always for you. God always longs to bless you. But it is in His plan where His blessings flow. It's in His plan where His fullness is there. Well, somebody says, well, how do you know His plan? You know. Go hold your place. God gave you two hands with lots of fingers. Stick one finger there in Galatians and go over to 1 John. 1 John. And look over here in chapter 2 in verse 20. I don't have any notes from this, so I'm just playing it by ear. 1 John chapter 2, literally. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. Watch this. Watch this here. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, with a finger still in Galatians. He says this in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, but you, that means you, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know what? All things. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Well, I used to wonder about that. What does it mean, I know all things? I don't know how to fly a plane. I don't know about you. I don't know. I ate a carrot cake that my wife and her sister made me. I don't know how to make it. I enjoyed eating it, but I don't know how to make it. What does it mean, I know all things? Here's what it means. You know everything you need to know. You know everything you need to know. See, some people, they always come and say, I'm not hearing from God on anything. Well, you know all you need to know. If he wants you to know more, he'll tell you more. Until he tells you more, take comfort in the fact he's not telling you anything. It means you're doing something right. If he's telling you you're doing something wrong, that means you need to make adjustments. But if he's not telling you to do anything wrong, just keep doing what you're doing. Somebody said, I want to know more. You know everything you need to know. If you knew more, you'd overthink it. You'd try to progress it too fast. You'd get a good idea on how it should work. You know what a good idea always leads to? Ishmaels. You know what an Ishmael was? Ishmael was the product of a good idea. Abraham is looking to have a child. It's the desire of his heart. He knows that God has promised him this child. But for years, it seems as if this thing's not happening. And so his wife comes up with this good idea. In her mind, this is a good idea. They're trying to make it happen faster than it needs to happen. And so his wife comes to him and says, hey, I've got this servant here. Why don't you just take her and y'all can have a child? And I know what you're thinking. To me, that does not sound like wisdom at all. But anyway, they have this good idea, and it's the wife's idea, and they go out, and sure enough, he goes and is with the servant. She gets pregnant, produces a child called Ishmael, and that's still repercussions from that decision today. We won't get into that. But from that, it produced something that was not born of God. In the sense of, it wasn't God's plan that that child be born that way. God had a plan, and that plan's name was Isaac. Ishmael was born of the flesh. Isaac was born of the spirit. They got out ahead of God trying to figure out how this thing will happen. I love what a man that I've leaned from and gleaned from a lot. He's going home to be with the Lord now. His name's Kenneth E. Hagin. And he used to always say this, if the enemy can get you over into the realm of reason, he'll whip you every time. If the enemy can get you over into the realm of reason, he will whip you every time. Well, what does the realm of reason mean? When you're sitting back and trying to figure out everything, and you're trying to contemplate, well, how will this work? And the enemy will come in and bring all types of thoughts and suggestions to get you out of the will of God. You have an unction from the Holy One. You know all you need to know. If in your heart you know you need to make an adjustment, you need to make a change, whether, like I said, it's spiritually or whether it's something to do in your relationship with a wife or spouse or children or whatever it is, when you get an unction, that word unction, someone, well, what does unction mean? Unction means rubbing. If you look up this word unction, it means to smear. And what they would do back then is they would take oil and smear it on leather, and they would call that giving that leather an unction, a rubbing. And that's what it means. On the inside, when you get a rubbing, and you all know what I'm talking about, a rubbing on the inside, just something's not right. I need to make a change. I need to make an adjustment. Brother Hagin, that minister I was talking about, always would say this. He said, whenever you're violating the plan of God, you'll know it on the inside. He said, it's like trying to wash your feet with your socks still on. Something's not right with that. You just know it doesn't feel right. Something's not right. And he'd always joke around with that, but that's the absolute truth. When you get that sense on the inside, something's not right. I don't know what it is, but I need to make an adjustment. I need to make a change, or I need to do this. Like I said this morning, and when I say, you know, the Lord put it on my heart, I'm not talking about anything elaborate. I'm talking about right before I'm about to walk out that door, I just get a sense, I need to go read the scripture over in Galatians. I need to read the scripture. Just you're rubbing on the inside. And I got one or two choices. I can yield to that and submit to it, or I can say, you know what, God, we already had big ideas. We had a message title entitled Think Big. We've got a screen made up. We've got CDs made up. People are going to get the podcast. It's going to say Think Big. And I'm not talking about thinking big. And you get thoughts like that. But once again, if the enemy can get you over into the realm of what? reason, trying to figure it all out, he will whip you every time. Now, that's a small example, but it's in these small things that big things come out of. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. If you have something on your heart to do, friend, you've only got one choice. That's to do it. Somebody said, how do I know if it's on my heart or not? I need a little bit of clarity. You got a rubbing on the inside. Just a smearing on the inside. This is one of my favorite examples. I use it quite often. But as a boy, my father was a preacher. He pastored this church before I did, for those of you who didn't know that. I'd go into his office, and he had a lot of books there. I'd go into his office, and I'd pull through the books. And what I was looking for was the beat-up books. You know, when a book is still crisp, it means it hasn't been read. You know what I'm talking about. You got some books like that at your house? I mean, you open up the cover and it creaks, and you know, it's stiff and the pages are still white and crisp. You know what I'm talking about. So I'd skip over those books because that means there wasn't anything too good in there. He hadn't read those a lot. I'd go to the ones that were beat up, where the cover's about half off, and you open it up and there's got marks in the pages and pages bent because he wanted to come back to that point, and highlighter and pen all in it where he circling things, and those were the ones that I knew were gold mines. And so I was pulling books one day, just looking for something fun to do and read, and there was a book up on his shelf called The Pentecostal Experience by a man named Donald G. And I pulled that book out and began reading it. I'm just a boy. I'm probably 13, 14 at the time. And he gave an example that I'll never forget, and this has saved me a lot in life. He said, people wonder how to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. He said, I'll give you an example. He said, think of a train, passenger train, running on tracks. And he said, this passenger train, when it's on the tracks, there's an innate smoothness for everyone on that train. It's just smooth. He said, you could look outside and see all kinds of storms. You could go through deep, dark tunnels that you never see the light of. He said, as long as you're on the tracks and you're in that train, there'll always be an innate smoothness. He said, that's how you know you're in the plan of God. He said, but you could take that train and you could put it in the most beautiful of scenery. I mean, all around it, things are beautiful and things are gorgeous and there's great scenery to look at. But he said, if you took that train off of its tracks, you wouldn't have to tell anyone something was wrong. And friend, that's what it's like being led by the Lord. It's not mysterious. It's not something that's incredibly supernatural. People have had supernatural experiences. Paul did when he saw Jesus and those types of things. But don't be looking for the spectacular and all the while miss the supernatural. What's supernatural is that unction, it's that rubbing, it's that leading on the inside. When you're in the plan of God, there's a smoothness, buddy. And there have been times in my life where, man, it looked like I was going through some scenery that wasn't necessarily pretty to look at. And you look around, it's like, this is going on over here. Should I make any adjustments? Should I make any changes? But on the inside, there's an innate smoothness. You keep walking that out, you walk right through it, and it's like the storm was never there. The train just keeps moving along. But then there have been other times in my life where I look like, yeah, this would be a really great decision to make. Oh, yeah, this would be an awesome thing to do. But as soon as I get up close to making the decision, just on the inside, there's just lack of peace and just turmoil. What's happening? The train's getting off its tracks. And God's trying to warn you, man, if you keep going in that direction, it's hard to kick against the pricks. So this is where Paul is at. He's heard from God. You have too. All of us have. Like we said, if right now you're not hearing from God, it means you have heard from God and you're doing what he's told you to do. Just keep doing it. If he tells you to make any adjustments, make it. But there may be some people in this room right now and you need to make adjustments. There may be some people in this room right now that you're facing life-altering decisions. What do I do? Paul was there. You talk about a life-altering decision. If he goes over and does what the Lord's putting on his heart to do, all of his friends, All of these people who really like him, they're about to turn on him and they will try to kill him. I mean, he had men who swore they wouldn't eat or drink until they murdered him. That's a bad day. When you tick off someone so bad that they make a decision, I'm not eating or drinking until I kill him. That's bad. Paul had that happen to him because of this decision. And here he is in this moment. He's got a decision to make, called by God to be an apostle. The Lord's dealing with him. Watch what he doesn't do. Flip your finger back and give it to Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. Galatians 1, verse 15. It says, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach among the heathen," watch this, "immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood," that's anyone who could talk, think, or speak, anyone you can touch, anyone who's alive, "immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." He said, "Neither went I up into Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me." That seemed like that'd be a good idea, right? You feel like you're called to be an apostle? Let me go meet with some apostles. He said, "I didn't do that. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. And after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him for 15 days. But other the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother." Now think about this. Here you got a man who later goes on to do more than any other man for the kingdom of God outside of Jesus. And he's saying that when I received my call, when the Lord was telling me to do something, the first thing I did was get away from anyone who could talk me out of it. He said, when I got this call, the first thing I did was confer not with flesh and blood. I didn't go see an apostle. I didn't go talk to someone. I stayed by myself with this call for 3 years. And even after 3 years, I only went up to see Peter and stood with him for 15 days. And after that, I didn't talk to any of the other apostles about it. Why'd he do that? This is something you never need to forget. Never, ever forget this. People give opinions. God gives plans. There's a big difference between the two. An opinion is a thought that someone has about what you should do. Well, if I was you, it typically starts that way. If I was you, well, typically it starts with you asking, what would you do? And then they say, if I was you, I would look out for this. I'd be careful about this. I'd watch this person here. You need to be careful about that. You need to be full of care about what you're careful about. Because there are some things you shouldn't be careful about. You're to cast those cares over upon the Lord. And what happens is you have to understand this. Words are not just words. You're not just sitting in here listening to me talk. When you listen to a relative, you're not just listening to them talk. When you listen to a friend, you're not just listening to them talk. Every word, Jesus says, is a seed. Every word. And what happens is, in life, there are people that you open up your heart to. And that's a good thing. People that you love and people who love you, and you have your heart open unto them. There are some people who talk to you and you don't listen to them. Am I right? Your heart is not open to them. So they could tell you what to do and you just ignore it, doesn't bother you because, you know, your heart's not open to that person. But then there are other people that your heart is very open to. I mean very open to. You love them, they love you, your heart is open unto them. And when they talk, you listen. And that can be a good thing or that can be a very dangerous thing. You get around God, God gives you a plan. It's not what you ought to do. It's what you should do. It's what you must do in order to get over into his perfect plan. And there's a big difference between being in his perfect plan and being in his good or acceptable plan. In Romans chapter 12, we don't have time to look at it, but in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible is clear that there is a perfect will of God, but there is also a good will of God and an acceptable will of God. Where you want your life to be is in the perfect will of God. And the perfect will of God is where the blessings flow. God never intended life to be hard or difficult. But when we walk in the acceptable will of God, where God is allowing us to do what we want, it gets very dangerous. And Paul here knows, I can't talk to people about this. Why? He knows that those words, if they get in him, it's going to be seeds that will, for some, it gets them out of the will of God entirely. Seeds of discouragement. You know, I've got a vision in my heart to do this. And they talk about it. And someone says, well, but you know, so-and-so tried that. And you know, you tried that before. And seeds of discouragement get in. It chokes out the word from God. But then there are others to where it doesn't choke it out entirely, but it modifies it. That's dangerous too. Well, I think I need to do this. Well, you need to watch this. Be careful for this. And then when you hear that, that seed goes into your heart. So the whole while, guess what your focus is on? What they told you your focus ought to be on instead of what God said to focus on. And it takes the plan off track. You got to be careful about this, friend. When God puts something in your heart, don't let other people modify it or change it or tweak it. The only time you should start talking to people about it is when Paul did, when it's firm in you, where it can't be shaken, it can't be moved. I've heard from God. Friend, there is no shortage of people on this earth who will give you an opinion. No shortage. And you got people, you know, I'm watching the Olympics and I'm acting like I'm an expert. You know, I'm watching. That's not a deduction. Are you kidding? He stuck the landing. I mean, I'm acting like I'm an expert. I don't know anything about it. I watch Olympics every 4 years. I never watched swimming before. I don't know the difference between a breaststroke and a backstroke. But I'm acting like I'm an expert. And you know, there are people who are experts on everything. Well, I'm looking to start a business, and they act like they've started one before. I'm looking about going into ministry, and they act like they've been in ministry for 30 years. Can I help you with something, friends? God is smarter than you and your whole crew. I mean, you and your whole crew, God is smarter than. When he tells you to do something, you don't argue with him. You don't talk yourself out of it. And you definitely don't ask 15 people, what do you think? There's one person I strive to please, and you know who that is? The Lord. You know, I've also found out in ministry, because you work with a lot of people, there's no way to please everyone. So I've stopped trying. I please the Lord. Amen. And it seems to work out okay. But the same thing is true in your life. If you live to make your sister happy, seriously, what's more important, her happy or God happy? Come on now, you can't. There's two things, and this is a whole nother message, but there are two things that no one is allowed to take from you. No one. You can have my love, you can have my house, you can have my car. None of those things belong to me. I'm a steward of those things. But there are two things that the Lord said should not be taken from you. You know what those things are? Joy and peace. My peace I leave with you. It's not the world's peace. Don't give it to them. Don't tie your joy and peace to these other things. They are yours, and you are to guard them. And friend, I'm telling you, make God happy. Link your joy and peace to his will and not anybody else's. When you get something on your heart to do from the Lord, step out and do it. Well, somebody said, well, if it's not the Lord, what if it's not? I guarantee you, when you stand before God in heaven and you say, I tried to do your will, I attempted to obey you, there's grace that comes with that. And even on this earth, there'll be mercy for that. If you honestly believe God is leading you to do it and you missed it, his grace and his mercy will be right there to pick you up. But friend, the just shall live by faith. And faith begins where the will of God is known. When you know it's God's will, that's when you step out. And don't let anybody or anything talk you out of it. Every head bowed, every eye.